श्री शिव गोस्वामी प्रभुपाद की, श्री वैष्णव भक्तवृंद की, जनन महाराज की, गौर मनंदि हरि बोल। Noticed when you came in the room, all the ladies fled to the other side in terror. Sannyasi Maharaj has come. And die. Okay. So my name is I forget. Yeah, I'm in Maya. Yeah. At least temporarily it's Hanumat Preshak, and it's a name for Ramachandra. Preshak is somebody who sends a messenger, like that. You know? If I'm going to send you with a message, I become Preshak. So Hanumat means of Hanuman, right? So when Ramachandra gave the ring to Hanuman, he said, "Go find Sita, tell her we're on the way." And he's Hanumat Preshak. So it's a name for Ram. And I was initiated in 1974. And I took sannyas 1984, almost the same day, 10 years later. Then I started initiating other people in 1994. Then I submitted my request to the head office to go back to Godhead in 2004. I was rejected. Yeah. And that's when we started Neos. It was also like a very prophetic thing. He's a pretty good guy. 2004, 2005. So we started our North American Institute for Oriental and Classical Studies, and it's been going on like that. And as part of that, we're trying to develop a master's degree in world classical literature, like that. You can be a master, MLIT, world classical literature, like that. Yeah. We're based in Tennessee, and we have different programs. So part of that, of course, is this whole curriculum study of our own Gaudiya Vaishnava literature. And particularly, we have been especially kind of developing Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava. Yeah. Prabhupada recommends those. If you look at Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita, in the beginning, we find it says, Srila Rupa Goswami has given many other books, such as Bhakti, Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidagdha Madhava, and Lalita Madhava. But Upadeshamrita constitutes the first instructions for neophyte devotees. Die. So Upadeshamrita is a summary of our whole culture, our whole philosophy, everything in 11 verses. One time we were invited to give a program in Oxford, and so the poster we made up was picture Rupa Goswami, like, you know, black and white with, you know, his kopans on and sitting there looking very, you know, mysterious. And the title was 3 Minutes with a Genius. 3 Minutes with a Genius, like that. So you're walking by on Oxford and you see this and it says, 3 Minutes with a Genius. What is that? First you've got to catch them, you know. Then they come over and it says that Rupa Goswami and his associates dominated the world of, what is it, 16th century Indian metaphysics. They were powerful ministers under the government of Nawab Hussein Shah. They had vast, limitless wealth, spices, jewels, silk, medicine, parties, festivals, language, poetry, buildings, horses. You know, they left it all to become mendicants and live under trees. Gopi Bhava Rasam Ritabdi Lahari. Yeah. But they got something so much more intense. And then from Lord Chaitanya, he received this empowerment to write poetry, dramas, philosophy, tantra, so many things like that. And then finally he summarized all these thousands of verses in just 11 verses. So come tonight and spend 3 minutes with a genius. Die. And also, free food. Free food. Hari Vilas said, any poster you have should have 2 words on it really big, free and food. You know, you may say, this program is not free and there is no food, but it should have free food. People will come like that. Yeah. So this is a summary of our whole culture philosophy. there is a Narayan Maharaj. We'll mention his name here. He published there's a commentary by one Radharaman Goswami. There's a commentary by Bhaktivinod Thakur. Pius something Brittany. And then Bhakti Siddhanta's Anuvritti, like that. He published them all in one. I think we have it available on, a file, electronic file. And so Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he says that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to write a full commentary, and he wrote his Pius Varshana Vritti or something like that. And it was kind of a summary thing. It wasn't so much detail. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati says that my father asked me to write a more detailed commentary. So I was doing that. And it wasn't quite finished before Bhaktivinoda left his body. So it was right near the very end. But then he finished it, and he said, on this day, this auspicious day dedicated to him, I finished this Anuvritti. So Bhaktivinoda's is called the so-and-so Vritti, and his is called Anuvritti, following afterwards like that. And if you look at the Prabhupada's commentaries, in every single text, practically speaking, you look at text number one, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. There it is, yeah. On page 7, Prabhupada finishes his kind of commentaries, and on page 7 he says, in his Anuvritti explanation of Upadeshamrita, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes that our material identification creates three kinds of urges. Urges of the speech, urges of the mind, and urges of body. Yeah, this is kayo vako mano, kamana kayo vako. Yeah, like that. So almost every single one, it directly states that in every purport, the second half is a more detailed paraphrasing of Bhakti Siddhanta's commentary. In the first half, it's also following Bhakti Siddhanta, but sometimes Prabhupada is discussing more modern things because, you know, times change. For example, text number 2 describes over-collecting, over-endeavoring, like that. Yeah. Text number 1 tells us basically what is devotional service, what is pure devotional service. This is a summary. Upadesham, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is a complete science. How many verses in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? 1,700? More than 2,000. Okay, wow. And so it's a complete science, so detailed, so incredible, you know, so much analysis like that. And then Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava, the two Brahmins, are a demonstration. And they show us how these mellows and emotions can flow together and stimulate each other, and the audience can be, you know, enhanced, enlivened in so many ways like that. Yeah? So summary, complete science, demonstration. Yeah? So in Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami starts off with a definition of what is pure devotional service. How does he define it? Any Bhakti Shastris here? How does Rupa Goswami define what is devotional service? Okay, text number. What's text number? Huh? No. Close. 1.1.1.1. Okay, you should be able to remember that. Okay. Kali Yuga, we expect to remember this. 1.1.11. Is it possible to have 5.1.11? Is that a possible number? No, because there's only four parts to the ocean. So 1, 2, 3, 4. Is it possible to have 1.6.11? No, because only four waves in the first part like that. Yeah, 1, 1, 1, 1. So that's his definition. And pure devotional service means empowered action for Krishna, you know, with a conscious intention to please Krishna, and it shouldn't be covered by any extraneous motive for knowledge or mystical powers or fruitive activities like that. Yeah. Okay, then 1.1.12, he gives the same thing, but he's quoting, I think, from the Narada Pancharatra. Sarvopadi Vinir Muktam, Tat Parat Vena Nirmalam, Rishikena Rishikesa Sevanam, Bhakti Ruchate. This man threatening to. Okay, it's not going to work. My head's out of this one. There you go, okay, there you go. like that. Where's the switch? Like that. Turn it on. Okay. There it is. Okay. See, your head's smaller than my head. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, put another dish of meat there. Yeah. Pontius Prashakasakas. So that text says that we have to get free from all these designations. Then we have to engage the senses in the service of the master of the senses. So that's bhakti yoga, engaging the senses in the service of the master of the senses. And text number one of Upadeshamrita basically says the same thing. Vacho vegam, manasa, krodha vegam. Engage these six pushes of the senses and the mind in the service of Krishna. Then text number one and two and three talk about six things that will make it very difficult and six things that will make it very easy, like that, no? Yeah. And achahara prayashascha prajalpa niyamagraha. So much over-collecting, over-endeavoring like that. He's got a message for us, I think. Yeah. And you sit down like that. Everyone's watching him. No one's watching him as I go. Like that. Men are attracted to women. It's very interesting because this year I was in India. These guys came from India. Actually, I've been traveling 36 hours. My mind is everywhere. Yeah. So for the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya's sannyas, having a big festival in Mayapur, and the chief guest was Miss India, Miss Universe India, like that. You know, she was walking around during the morning program, and I didn't look at her. I was kind of glad, like that. But I was thinking, wow, she's very beautiful. something like that, very, not just like grossly sensuous, but also very elegantly beautiful like that. I was thinking, must be somebody important. You know? So then during the program, then they introduced her, and she spoke very nicely, you know. She said actually that she knew that even if she won all these prizes, first you become Miss something, you know, Miss Petit Somme, you become Miss something, you know. You work your way up like that, you know. So she knew that even if she made it all the way to the top, then when she got the prize and everything else, it would just be like a 10-minute satisfaction or something like that, you know. Because she knew, her grandmother told her there's more in life, and she always remembered there's something higher in life we should try for, you know. So she spoke very nicely. And she's helping all ISKCON projects and going like that. Yeah. So she came, it was the anniversary of Lord Chaitanya's sannyas, which is very interesting because Miss India was the chief guest for the anniversary of Lord Chaitanya's sannyas. Kind of. It is some very, very deep, deep philosophical significance to all that. Yeah. 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 So, Upadeshamrita. And he's saying that six things will make it difficult to engage your senses in the service of Krishna. It's over collecting, over endeavor, over eating like that. Yeah. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, when he's talking about over collecting, he's talking about mystical powers. Are you acquiring too many mystical powers? Oh yeah, but I have none of them. Yeah, but in the time of Bhakti Siddhanta, people had it. Yeah, but in the time of Bhakti Siddhanta, people could do this. They could do hatha yoga. They could actually sit there for hours and miss comments and meditation, you know, and do all these kind of things like that. Yeah, and so Prabhupada's purports in the first part, he has to talk about things that are more modern, like that. Yeah. But you're still following Bhakti Siddhanta's commentary. In the second half, you find in Achyahara, you know, you find in the Anuvritti by Bhakti Siddhanta, like that. Yeah. So many things to talk about. Yeah. And so we're developing this curriculum, a master's degree in our own literature, and we're kind of using this Rupa Shiksha. The instructions of Rupa Goswami is kind of like a backbone for our curriculum with Upadeshamrita is the beginning, and that doesn't go away. It isn't that you replace it with something else. No, this just blossoms into, you know, nectar of devotion like that. It expands out like that. The nectar of devotion, then when the flowers come out like that, you have a seed. Seed's still there, right, when you get the tree. And the tree's still there when you have the fruits. So Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava are the fruits like that. Yeah. And so we're here to teach basically bhakti by bhava level, right, of the nectar of devotion this week. Supposedly all the students have already had, our two students have already had a nectar bhakti shastri. Yeah, supposed to finish your Bhakti Shastri. Bhakti Shastri is like high school, huh? Secondary. Then you start the university, and you do your Bhakti, start studying your Bhakti by Baba program. Maybe after 4 years, then you have, you know, being a devotee, you get your Bhakti by Baba's certificate. And by then you're ready to become Goswami or Goswamini. Everybody has to become Goswami. It doesn't matter if you're a man, woman, child, everybody. You know. Then after that, you can become pure devotee, you know, so on. So Bhakti by Baba was a study to that level, you know, master. Start your master's studies. Start your Swami studies after finishing Bhakti by Baba. Yeah. And so we were trying to then give a seminar then tonight, especially more focusing on the Bhakti by Baba level of Upadeshamrita. Because one problem in ISKCON in the past, I think, has been that we study Bhagavad Gita and Bhakti Shastri, and then we forget about it. Okay, now we're going to go to Srimad Bhagavatam. First, we're going to forget about it. It's like, you know, no, it's the same thing again, right? So when you're doing your Bhakti by Baba, you should also be studying Bhagavad Gita. Yeah? But now there's commentaries, there's more depth. You should develop, you know, more ability to use it like that. Yeah, yeah. And so our curriculum should be like that. It should be what's like a spiral. Same thing again, but now more depth, you know, more consideration. So we were trying to do a seminar then a little bit on the nectar of instruction as part of the Rupa, the Goswami tradition, but from the Bhakti by Baba level. Okay. So if you haven't had Bhakti Shastri, it's okay. It'll still be pretty comprehensible, I think. Yeah. Somehow or other, Bhurijan said, Bhagavad Gita is my book. This is my book. I actually have it right here. Carry it with me everywhere, fully annotated. Because as a sannyasi traveling, you know, how many books can you take with you, everything else? One purport Prabhupada says, whatever a sannyasi asks for, he should be given. So as soon as I read that, I thought, yeah, but he has to carry it. So like, you know, okay, well, give me diamonds, they're light. Yeah, and somebody will cut your throat, you know, when you're traveling. Okay, you know. So the sannyasa ashram is like any ashram. It's automatically self-regulating. Yeah. You know, if a man is talking, you go to some program, some big festival, Ram Navami, and you know, you're married, you're talking to some Mataji, you know, and you begin to think, well, maybe I'm talking a little bit too much with this woman like that and stuff, and you look over and your wife's looking at you like that, you know, okay. Gotta go now, Mataji, yeah. So yeah, in Grihastha Ashram, husband and wife watch out for each other like that, you know, yeah. And so in sannyasa ashram is also, you know, automatic protection built in like that. So traveling light, Upadeshamrita right here. There we go. Okay. Yeah. And then we're marking down all these, you know, cross references and commentaries. And as we do this, we see it's our, you know, appreciation for Prabhupada is growing more and more every year, like that. Yeah. It's like take some example. Like maybe you understand how does an automobile work? You know? Put the gas in. Then what happens to the gasoline? What happens to the gasoline? Huh? Okay, all right. Anybody know anymore? Say so something happens in the engine. Huh? A battery, okay. So the gasoline goes in there in a little pan and you put a fire on it and liquid burns. My God, you're supposed to be German, right? Yeah. No, it has to be atomized, right? It has to be made into a vapor, right? Then it goes into the piston, and there's some kind of like spark or ignition like that, and that explodes it, and it pushes the piston down like that, you know, which turns the crankshaft. Okay, yeah, like that, you know. So, you know, somebody can say, chant Hare Krishna and be happy, you know, or you're not the body, right? You know, Bhakta Buford, you know. But Srila Prabhupada says that there's so much more comprehension like that, so much more depth. You know? So as I go on, like looking at the cross references and so many things like that, it's behind every one of Prabhupada's sentences, there is so much depth, you know, so much meaning. Like it isn't like he's picking out, well, I need a verse here to support these ideas. What verse should I pick out? No, this is the exact verse, but specifically deals with this for five different reasons, and all the acharyas have commented. Wow. So as you go on using this as a study guide for everything, it opens up this whole world of every level of bhakti like that. Yeah. For example, I don't know if we'll even get off the first page today. Right? The first page, the nectar of instruction, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So what does that bring to mind? What topics? Any topics there to discuss? What is Srila Prabhupada's position in ISKCON? Huh? Yeah? Is he the Diksha Guru for the next 10,000 years? Do some people say that? No? Nobody says that? Have they got a magazine? Have they got a magazine? What's the name of their magazine? Back to Prabhupada. Yeah. And they have money. Yeah, and they have, you know, that's why they have Brahmins who can do this, because they have money, so some devotees can spend time, like, you know, criticizing everybody. Yeah. So this was it's a big argument about what is Prabhupada's position, because we can have in Brahminical culture, we can discuss things subtly, we can get some very fine ideas like that amongst ourselves, you know, but then it has to go from that very theoretical area to a practical level, you know, from Brahminical culture to Kshatriya culture. And then you got to apply things, and it has to be something simple that a lot of, you know, less intelligent people, Vaishyas and Shudras, can follow, like that, right? The Brahmins, you know, the Vaishyas and Shudras half the time can't figure out what they're trying to tell them. They're just so, like, egghead or, you know, intellectual, you know? The Kshatriyas, they can figure out, like, okay, this guy's, I see what your idea is, sir, like that, you know, okay. But practically speaking, I have to apply this now, and I have to apply it in such a way that these 20,000 men behind me can all figure out what's going on. Partasarthi, he was in Iraq, no? He was a devotee, he was a sergeant there. He was a platoon sergeant. He had 140 soldiers under his, 139, under his, you know, protection, everything else. He has so many, you know, real experiences. I mean, you can imagine if I told you tomorrow someone's going to try and kill you tomorrow. You're like, well, okay, so, yeah, how many different ways? But he was going every day. People were trying to kill him every day, day after day, trying to kill him like that. It's like one day is enough, you know? Yeah. So anyway, a very intense program with all these people. As you remember, he said that he finally came to this conclusion. His mission was, what was his mission? His mission was that when he went out in the morning and came back in the evening, there were 139 soldiers with him when he went out. And at the end of the day, 139 mothers will still have sons. That was his job. You know, 139 mothers will still have sons when I come back at the end of this day, like that. Second level, second program was to create peace. Sometimes he would throw cookies at the other guys, like that. Shooting at them and throwing cookies at them, like that, you know. Whatever it was, just make peace, you know. Third thing was to do what his captain told him to do, like that. That was third down the list, like that, you know. Yeah. So he'd been preaching all the time. There's so many books every day, so many programs like that. Yeah. I mentioned that, talking about him. Partasarthi, he'll come. Yeah. Next instruction? Oh, yeah. Who's Prabhupada's position in ISKCON? Founder Acharya. Ah. Okay, anyway. So the, because big discussion, what is Prabhupada's position? Because different people have different ideas about that. And when you bring it down to a practical level that ordinary people can follow, then it has to become something where you're going to, you know, it has to be gross. You're going to lose things for sure, like that. Again, in the Partasarthi, the point I was trying to make, he said soldiers. His soldiers are not geniuses. So there are no military geniuses. Forget it. You know, so they're brave like that. Okay, yeah. He said, soldiers. He said, you give them one mission, and that's it. You know, soldier, we're gonna take that hill. He said, yes, sir. Give them two missions. You're starting to be a little bit doubtful. Three, it's almost guaranteed they'll become confused and nothing. You know, it'll be a catastrophe like that. You know, so we're taking that hill. Okay, like that. with one leg or two legs or one arm or one eye, it doesn't matter. We're taking that hill, you know, like that, so on. So this is, you know, we some ways we become confused living in ISKCON and associating with, because ISKCON is a Brahminical society, you know? And so we're used to dealing with people who are intelligent, you know, clean, like that. But we start getting out in the real world, like 90% of the people are just, you know, very simple. They have to have guidance for almost anything they do. They have to eat what their master eats. Probably was it Prashabdev, Pritumar says that the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas and Shudras, they only eat what the Brahmins eat, because the Brahmins know what to eat. right? And because of that, then, if you're only taking remnants of the brahmanas, you'll never eat meat. Now, you'll never eat fish, never eat eggs, never eat boga, like that. Yeah? You never eat at weird times, yeah? Because you're just eating after the brahmins eat, like that. So, Prabhupada, this is something that Prabhupada's Gaudiya's comment. They come to America, they come to the West, and they preach, and they give lectures, and people like them. But then to actually establish a society, that's where they begin to appreciate Prabhupada was not an ordinary person. It's so easy to talk about things, but actually to begin to practical application, oh, it's very difficult many times like that. Govinda Maharaj is a disciple of Sridhar Swami, Prabhupada's Gaudiya. So he established a temple in San Francisco, Northern California. And he was trying to organize the same thing and following Prabhupada's example. And after some time, there's so many problems with people fighting over money and power and do this and do it that way and everything else. And many Prabhupada disciples were joined him. So finally he said, all right, however Swami Maharaj taught you to do it that way, like that. And I personally heard him say with my own ears, anybody who comes from India to preach in the West, before he puts even one finger in the West, has to pay his obeisances to Swami Maharaj, like that. Yeah. So it's great respect for Prabhupada. Yeah. And so Prabhupada made it very clear. You know, he could have said, I am the only Diksha Guru in ISKCON for the next 10,000 years. You know? But what he said again and again is that his position in ISKCON is founder Acharya. Sanskrit, you could say Samstapaka Acharya, or also Pratista Acharya, like that. Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. When he formed the ISKCON branch in New York, the first incorporation, as I'm remembering, he said, the founder Acharya for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness shall be His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, and nobody shall share or occupy this position during or after his life. Right? Very, very intense. Yeah. And a lot of this may have come about because Prabhupada's experiences with the Gaudiya Math and the succession after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, what was happening like that. Yeah. We just came from, hours ago, we were in Calcutta. We were supposed to come like Monday and give this program gradually over the week. But then our friend Professor Samaresh Bandopadhyaya, he pushed us, he dragged us to participate in a seminar being organized with the Gaudiya Math, like that. The Bog Bazaar Gaudiya Math. There we go. Yeah. One of their books. And now we'll give this to the Bhaktivedanta College Library. Like that. Yeah. It's their description of their acharyas after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Because in Calcutta, in Bog Bazaar, that was where someone donated a very nice land and built a beautiful, nice temple there. And different comments by Bhaktisiddhanta. I think maybe that was maybe the first, very first temple. And the deities he established there are Radha Binod Bihari. Radha Binod Ananda. And I stayed there for about two days, then went to Manipur for a program there, then came back. Manipur, Delhi. We were supposed to come here, and we came back. And just for the symposium. And because they wanted to do something on the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya. So Dr. Bandopadhyaya suggested that they do this academic symposium like that on the contribution of Mahaprabhu and his followers within the modern world like that. So he said, you have to come, you have to write something, you can talk in the Rupa Goswami section. So basically I did the same thing I'm doing here, but I summarized it in one paper like that. A lot of work writing like that. You know that, right? Bhaktivedanta College. But it was, it was a very powerful preaching area. And then the governor of West Bengal was going to inaugurate, and then the former governor was going to be there, and several high court justices and big professors, and the audience was big professors. Very beautiful hall like that. Advertisements all over the city. In the morning, on Saturday morning, we went on a procession. And first they have the police, in their uniforms, off the road, peasants, the Gaudiya Math is coming, like that. So they clear the road, stop the traffic. Then they have a nice like Land Rover type vehicle, with Gaudiya Math with the Acharya inside, and people too old to walk, like that. Then there's a sign. And they have all the sannyasis like that. They all have the same uniform on with their dandas, walking in two rows like that. It's really impressive, you know. All looking like dry and, you know, stern like that, you know. Yeah. Yeah. And their sannyasis have more of this kind of dry gravity than our ISKCON sannyasis. Like, you know, and women and children run in terror when they see them. It's like, you know, like that, very heavy, you know. You know, older, mature people like that. It looked like, you know, curse you with that. So yeah, we attended 12 of those. And then kirtan leader, very well organized. They had two megaphones, one in the front, one in the back, like that. Yeah. Then they had all the brahmacharis. They had ladies with kalasas on their heads, dressed nicely. Then they had grihastas, and then ladies. And they were able to keep two lines like that. It was really impressive. It was walking along with that. It just looked like something like spiritual life as a whole organized process. Yeah. Yeah. And then there came time for the inauguration. And they said, okay, Hanuman Swami, you have to make do the keynote address, right? The governor, the former governor of Bengal, and, you know, all the people there, so you have to make the keynote address. What's that? What do you mean? They're just like, you know, say, no, the other speaker can't come. Why can't he come? He's dead. Oh, okay. I said, all right, we accept that. I don't care. Bring him anyway. Sorry, you can't die yet, you know. So Monkey and Piggy, I mentioned Monkey and Piggy were terrified, like that, you know, so on. So, you know, Krishna gives intelligence, you know, where's it go? Sarvasya chaham radihan sannivisto matasmitra gana pavanam cha. So I made the presentation, and afterwards the governor called me eloquent and vastly educated. following Hanuman Swami, who was very eloquent and vastly educated, I hardly can talk at all in front of all of you. He was a very nice person. You see why he's a governor, right? He said, I come from a spiritual Hindu family, but religious Hindu family, but not that much. And I think the only reason I'm being allowed to talk here is because I'm the governor. And I have to confess that I have not spent enough time in studying these things and researching these things. And if I had known these things, I probably wouldn't have been able to do my job as an administrator much better over the last 40 years. So at least from this point, let me here publicly say that from this point on, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to associate more with people like this and study more of these things like that. And especially Sriman Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, as a Bengali, how can I not appreciate his, you know, contribution like that? You know? So many things are happening. But out of all these things, they have their succession of acharyas like that. And this is their version, right? You know. And then Vasu Ghosh Prabhu was telling me, yeah, but behind the scenes, this was going on, that was going on, yeah, you know. This, you know. So seeing all these things, Prabhupada, from the very beginning, I think he was seeing, how am I going to establish my movement? So he's the person who picked this position as Samstapaka Acharya, founder Acharya, you know, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and nobody shall share or occupy this position during or after his life, like that, you know. So I think this is a very important point for discussing with this, you know, what's with the ISKCON reform movement, because they're promoting Prabhupada's the only Diksha Guru, which he never said, as far as, you know, that. And it's a whole different point. We'll get into that point later on, if we go on. It's discussed about Diksha and so many things like that in our culture like that, you know. Any questions, comments? Before we... Yeah, I don't know. It's okay. Mahaprasadam Gita. Yeah. What does acharya mean? If you don't have questions, I have questions. Yeah. What does acharya mean? Yeah, one who follows the scriptures and teaches his students, teaches the scriptures, and he demonstrates them by his own character like that. So then Prabhupada is acharya in that sense. He's given us all these scriptures, you know, and he's also showed us, you know, before the Artik tonight, we were watching all these movies of Prabhupada, and people making comments about how Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada gave us so many years of association to us, showing us how to do these things like that, in a very practical sense, yeah? Yeah, in the modern world. And then, what does founder mean? Yeah, maybe foundation. So even in Upadeshamrita, you find Prabhupada mentioning maybe about three, four, five times, you know? Prabhupada talks about, said, we have established ISKCON for this reason. We have created this society for this reason. Yeah, many times he makes it very clear what is the fundamental. What does he say here? What does Prabhupada say about ISKCON, about founding it? Why he founded it? Why did he found it? Yeah, that's one of the things he talks about, and to give people a chance to associate with devotees. Yeah, like that. So no, I didn't found it to make money or this or that, or you know, for administration. No, it's for personal relationships. And therefore, our GBC function, our administrative function, we should let that fade into the background, right? It's essential. And without that, it's impossible to have a mass movement. You know? But it should fade into the background. The prominent thing should be, you know, that we're having exchanges of, you know, giving and receiving gifts and things like that. You know? So that people feel, the president, people feel like, friendly, you know, friendly. He's a president, but usually, most times, that may be not so prominent. You know, more and more prominent is this is devotee. We're engaging, hearing and chanting in different ways, kirtans, festivals, worshiping the deity like that. You know? And then it's very attractive for so many people. I mean, there's enough institutions in the world, right? Enough political organizations like that. Yeah, you know? Yeah. So that's, you know, our comment on the first page. You know? Should we open the book up? Okay. It says here, 11 lessons in the ancient science of bhakti yoga. 11 lessons in the ancient science of bhakti yoga. So one time we gave a nectar of instruction seminar at the Cultural Center for Universidad Católica in Peru. And it's one of the most prominent universities in Peru. And their cultural center is really big place, you know, very modern, all theater facilities, classrooms in the center of Lima. And devotees used this for the promotion. They had this, you know, 11 sciences like that. So many people there, very well-dressed ladies, people with ties on. I started talking like that. And after the first text or second text, one guy in the front started saying, but wait a second, this says this is a science. What, like that. So he started like complaining. I think it was a physicist or something, you know. So he started complaining about the fact that it wasn't a science and all this kind of stuff. And what is science? But it's because it's a Catholic country, people are kind of telling him, oh, don't disturb the bishop like that, be polite, you know, so he was kind of calmed down, you know. But he kept like, you know, bubbling up. And finally, when we got all the way to Gopi Bhava, everything made sense. That was it. It was just like, you know, conjugal love in the mood of the gopis, and Mary, and Santa Rosa of Lima, and John of God, and you know, the Song of Solomon. And it was like, oh, okay, now I understand. Yeah, oh, yeah. And he became very peaceful and happy. He was talking like that, you know. Wow. Only, this is a Catholic country. People have it at a higher level like that. So, it probably uses the word science over and over again. What scientific organizations did Prabhupada start? Yeah, the Bhaktivedanta Institute. The only one, actually, like that, yeah. So I was I was associated with Srup Damodar Maharaj, my sannyas guru, and I was thinking about getting involved in the Bhaktivedanta Institute, practically speaking, not getting involved. I started electrical engineering, changed to biological engineering, graduated in psychology with a first place prize, started my PhD, left that, became an actor, you know, some improvisational theater. And so I kind of finished with science, enough science, forget it, you know, I was like, ah, you know. But still, it seemed important. So then I talked to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. It's about, is science preaching important? And he laserized me, you know, staring at me. He said, Prabhupada said over and over again for his entire last year, scientific preaching is my number one preaching program. Like that. You idiot. Like that. Yes, sir. You know, like that, you know. And then Ravindra Sarup was much more polite. He said, oh, yeah, you know, it's like that. But they all said the same thing, that Prabhupada, and Prabhupada himself says this, you know, that was maybe to be samstapaka acharya, atmatattva, remember him? The boy atmatattva, remember him? Yeah. Very erudite Brahmin from South India. He gave a lecture Wednesday night, Bhagavad Gita class, something like that in Los Angeles. And I just happened to be there, and a couple more senior devotees and regular devotees, but it became like a very, you know, public, like a frequently repeated lecture, because what he's talking about is what is samstapaka acharya. And there's one acharya in the Ramanuja Sampradaya who gives like a whole detailed explanation of what you have to do to become a samstapaka acharya. And there's like seven different qualifications, I can't remember them, but one of them was you have to defeat every philosophy contrary to Vaishnava Siddhanta current at your time, like that. So Prabhupada did that. You have to synthesize all the knowledge of the previous acharyas in such a fashion that your disciples don't have to go beyond you to get all the previous knowledge. Prabhupada did that. Yeah? It was one after another would Prabhupada qualify exactly as Samsthapaka Acharya. So during Prabhupada's time, Hatha Yoga in the West was very prominent, even still. And also science. Actually, science is the most powerful, most predominant worldview. If you have a horrible auto accident and your child is smashed up, on one side there's an ISKCON temple, other side is the hospital, which way do you go with your child? One devotee said, well, I run to the hospital and chant Hare Krishna over my shoulder. Hare Bo, Krishna, help me. Yeah, because we trust science, right? If we have problems, science will, for medical things, for defense, for communication, for entertainment, and for ultimately, who are we? What's it all about? You know? So science is a very powerful philosophy. And Prabhupada said, this is my number one preaching program like that. So Prabhupada himself was always, you see, again and again in his literature, he was always talking about this. He may have even said this. He told them what to do for this front material here. Prabhupada may have said that. You see 11 lessons in the science of Bhakti Yoga. But especially at the time of Rupa Goswami, Navanyaya, was becoming very prominent. There's many schools of philosophy. But David Haberman, we'll discuss this in our class, he points out at that time that Navanyaya, Nyaya means logic, it was becoming very prominently spread everywhere. In the West, I think it was almost the same time as Aristotle, no? Because Aristotle's whole thing was to give a name to everything. Mridanga, carpet, table, microphone. Give a name to everything, and then a relationship between all those names, categories and everything else like that. And then that became, spread from Aristotle into our Western thinking like that. So in India, the same thing was happening. And so Rupa Goswami then takes Bhakti Yoga and makes it into this extremely analytical, presents it in an extremely analytical format. And that's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is an extremely analytical book. Practically speaking, it's impossible to understand it for us without graphics, without like charts and stuff like that. You want to see the whole thing. Got Samanya Bhakti, Sadhana Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, Prema Bhakti. Okay, subcategories. Bhava Bhakti is Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, Vyabhichari Bhava, and Stai Bhava. Okay. Vyabhichari Bhava can be analyzed into, 35 different elements and also an additional 15, which is kind of like the first ones like that. Okay. Each of those can react in terms of the devotee, in terms of he has a hard heart or a soft heart, a big heart or a small heart. Okay. Those can be analyzed in terms of all the reactions in Vibhava in terms of smiling, laughing, choking, dancing, burping, or dying. Okay. So it's like, yeah. And so when you put it all together, if you want to do this on one big chart with all the little lines connecting things up like that, with about 10, maybe 9-point type, it'd probably be like this, little circles and lines, Does anybody here a biologist? Anybody study biology in the university?
School.
Half your life is wasted. Okay. Do you know what the Krebs free energy cycle is? The Krebs free energy cycle. Okay. Yeah. This is when we take bread, right? We chew it in the mouth. Okay. It's already becoming processed. Yeah. Then it goes to the stomach as hydrochloric acid. Then it goes different enzymes. Then it goes in the blood. And finally it reaches the cells. And by the time it gets to the cell furnaces, it's adenotriphosphate. And that's the actual element that all of your cells use for energy. That's the actual basic thing, adenotriphosphate, like that. Yeah. So they worked on this scientist, as far as they're concerned, by cutting up thousands and millions of rats, dogs, and whatever. All his experiments. And they have this whole chart like that, which shows the whole thing with carbon transferring, adding enzymes and everything else. And it's a whole thing like that. It's really impressive. Wow. This is how you go from from eating bread to scratching your nose, all this whole chart like that. So Rupa Goswami does that, and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu gives us a whole intellectual analysis like that. And for this modern you know, German minds. My grandfather was Austrian. Everything has to be a machine. Then we think, ah, now I know. I know bhakti yoga. Like that. Yeah. But that's our modern world, is, you know, increasingly. So Prabhupada makes this point, you know, it's a science. Yeah, but it's also an art. Yeah, it's both. It's both. But sometimes people take religion as just being sentiment. You know? No, he says, no, it's sentiment, but it's also a science. So you must understand this scientifically. How to apply it? What's the problem? What's my level? Why am I not advancing? Yeah, understand scientifically. You go to the doctor and say, hey, I'm sick, cure me. And he says, well, sit down. Stick out your tongue. You know, you feel your pulse. Talk to me about the symptoms. It's a science. And you have to know these things. Yeah, knowledge like that. Okay. So we're not going to do the whole book tonight. Yeah. The table of contents, okay, well, what about that? That's broken down into how many pages, you know, for each one. 13 pages for text number 1, 12 for 2, 9 for 3, 11 for 5, 7, 9, 5, 4, 7, 4, like that. So the first three are almost all the entire bulk like that. Yeah. I'm going to stop here, you know. The preface then is incredible too. You know, it's one point. Prabhupada says the Krishna consciousness movement is conducted under the supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami. As we all agree, we're all Rupanugas. You know, Bhagavazar Gaudiya Math, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Gaudiya Math, ISKCON, we're all Rupanugas. Not everybody are. Some people don't accept Rupa Goswami as the Acharya after Lord Chaitanya. They accept Raghu Vangsa, Nityananda Vangsa, and so many groups like that. Owls, Bowls, Kartabhajan, Gita Nagari, Garanga Nagari. There's one group, as explained to me, that when the husband and wife are married, the wife spends the first night with the guru, so she becomes Mahaprasadam. Ah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So this is why Lord Chaitanya's movement was completely rejected by civilized Bengali people. The majority of people in Bengal rejected Lord Chaitanya's culture until Bhaktivinoda Thakur came along. Because so many groups were claiming to be... Ramakrishna claims to be a follower of Lord Chaitanya. And people say he's an incarnation of Lord Chaitanya. That's how big Lord Chaitanya is in Bengal. Probably speaking, to be any kind of great guy in Bengal, you have to be an incarnation of Lord Chaitanya. Yeah? But... And so I've seen people that they came in contact with them and they thought somehow or other they're a little more open-minded and intelligent, and they came in contact a little bit. Oh, you're tiki-wala. That's what we're called, tiki-wala's. You know, this guy is, you know, like that. I mean, it's for low-class people like that. It's something for them to do so they won't be so bad. But then after beginning to associate with ISKCON devotees, Prabhupada, the books are beginning to appreciate that, wow, these people are so profound, you know. Jiva Goswami and the Sanskrit is incredible. It's, you know, I know Sanskrit. I'm a big educated person, but this Sanskrit is the most, you know, erudite Sanskrit I've ever seen in my life. I never knew that. Yeah? And so all of Bengal now is spreading like that because of Prabhupada, because of Bhaktivedanta Institute, our work. So now it's coming to this point that those same people are now saying that Lord Chaitanya is the greatest saint that Bengal has produced. And now people are actually saying that Ramakrishna caused a lot of problems in understanding our Bengali tradition. Before it was, you mentioned anything about Ramakrishna, your head cut off. You know? Prabhupada doesn't even mention his name. Yeah. But now he's saying, yes, he's a wonderful person, he's saying, but many mistakes in what he was presenting like that. So actually, there's a very deep, tangible change in Bengal, in India, because of ISKCON. Yeah? And maintaining the purity, of course, big challenge too, because more groups are usually destroyed by power than they're destroyed by struggling. Usually more groups are destroyed by wealth and opulence than they're destroyed by, you know, by adversity like that. So we have to go on maintaining, chanting our rounds, getting up, following principles. Yeah. We just, before I came back here in Delhi, we was there for a couple of days, and Gopal Krishna Maharaj called and said, tell Hanuman Swami he has to come to Rohini tomorrow. Oh, I have to go someplace else. No, you can't go there. Come here. Okay. So they were doing the cornerstone ceremony. Rohini is the biggest colony in Asia. It's like 1 million people. It's like a, you know, colony in Delhi. It's 1 million people. And the government gave them some land for like $100,000, although the retail value is $25 million. It's a big section of land right near the main road with a metro station at both ends of the thing. And the whole place is, and the government's plan is dedicated to cultural institutions and academic institutions. So they gave us like 1 acre. 1 acre? Yeah, 5,000 square meters of land there like that. So, you know, it's incredible, you know. So they had a cornerstone laying ceremony, and so many big people there again, big pandal, four fire pits, you know, all these things like that, you know. And now the money's already there. So many people have faith in ISKCON that it's a good cause, and they're going to use that for their college preaching for all of North India as a basis there like that. So it's happening. Things are developing, you know, like that. And the main thing is to keep the purity and the strength. So behind all these things is chant 16 nice rounds every day and follow the four principles strictly. And in ISKCON too, in India same way too. There are some brahmacharis who have girlfriends, you know, like that. Yeah, saffron cloth and visiting girls and having sexual relations. Yeah. So, you know, it's a problem. Yeah, keeping the purity like that. But if we do, then everything else, just like it says, everything will expand automatically. The Krishna consciousness movement is conducted under the supervision of Rupa Goswami. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas or Bengali Vaishnavas are mostly followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of whom the six Goswamis of Vrindavan are direct disciples. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoibe Akuti Kabeha Mabujabo Se Yugala Piriti. Prabhupada quotes this many times. Okay, one example. We'll finish with this. Let's just take this now and go in depth. Okay, where's that? Prabhupada quotes it many times. Okay, where's it from? What song is this from? Yeah, Goranga bolite habe, Pulaka sarir, Hari Hari bolite, Ayamabinir. Okay, where's that song from? What songbook? Okay, which song? What's the song number? Okay, it's the very first song in the whole songbook like that. You know, very thing. And so it sets the whole mood for the whole song book. It's the one like that. It's not just an ordinary song. You know. And then how many songs does Prabhupada quote in his purports? All of Prabhupada's purports, how many songs do we find complete? Maybe three. Sorry, Robert Jajal. Yeah, Narada Muni Bhajai Veena in the sixth canto. And this song, which is in Madhya Leela chapter 7 like that. Prabhupada puts the whole song there and he gives an explanation. So the explanation is very nice. Basically, the song is a progressive description of development of spiritual life up to the level of Manjari Baba. You know, starting from, by the mercy of, we hear the kirtan of Lord Chaitanya, we attract it, it's so sweet, it's so nice. Goranga bolita habe pulaka sarir, hari hari bolite nayane baba nir, arakabe nitai chan. Then we get the mercy of Guru, we get the mercy of Nityananda, right? What happens from that? What is the symptom that you got the mercy of Nityananda? Yeah, tucha, insignificant. And then after that, what happens according to the song? Vishaya chadiya kabe. Yeah, the mind becomes purified also. The senses become controlled. Then your mind also becomes purified. Then what happens? Abhihama herabo. Shri Vrindavana. Then we can see Vrindavana. We can realize that Radha Gopinath are always in Vrindavan, that Radha Desh is Vrindavan Dham. We can realize that. Yeah. Yeah? Then what happens? You're living in Vrindavan. That's enough? Huh? Yeah, then we get the mercy of the Manjaris, like that, Rupa Raghunatha Pade, by their literature, by becoming enthusiastic and eager to study their literature like that. Yeah. So if you start taking like one line, these two lines like that, and open them up, you discover, I should memorize this song. I should know the purport. I should meditate on it. It should be one of the most prominent songs in my repertoire. I should give lectures on this, yeah, like that. And like that is, you know, we're going to try and do Upadeshamrita for our PhD thesis, our Bhakti Bhai Baba thesis, like that. So, yeah. Upadeshamrita ki. So any final questions then or anything? Or comments? Yeah? Yeah.
I just like to paraphrase the whole problem what you said. That more groups and movements are destroyed by power rather than by struggle?
Yeah. Adversity. No, you start to get money, you start to get prestige, you start to get, you know, followers. then. You know, there was I think it was after World War II. It was a movie, a child. You know, it was black and white movies. It was on World War II, and it shows in the end of the camera's just flying over somebody. It's like in Germany or something. It shows this area, this bomb, one city, just bombed. It's like plane flying, just like whole city is, you know, just destroyed like that, or the remnants like that. And it quotes, it was Lord Acton, this British lord. I think it was, he said it after that, in terms of Hitler. Power tends to corrupt, right? And? Yeah, such a very nice phrase. Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power tends to corrupt absolutely. Such a nice phrase. So Rabindranath Swarup said he heard Prabhupada say we would have this absolute power in the future. So he asked him, well, what will keep us from becoming corrupted? He said, Prabhupada thought very seriously. He said, if you just chant 16 nice rounds and follow the four principles strictly, you will not become contaminated. Rabindranath Swarup said he wasn't sure, so he asked Prabhupada again, is that enough? And Prabhupada said, seriously, he said, yes, that is enough. Because it's an empowered activity coming from our acharya. And so that means that if you're becoming corrupt, Krishna won't let you chant your rounds. And he won't let you follow the four principles. Yeah, like that. He'll personally give you problems. Yeah. It's more than just a mechanical thing. It's actually something, it's a personal, what? Personal, you know, identity established by Krishna. 16 rounds of four principles. Okay. Yes. Read the fine print. Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, Prabhupada always says 16 rounds, avoiding the 10 offenses. And he says out of the 10 offenses, the most important is the last one, inattentive. That if we're chanting attentively, then all the other ones will automatically be accomplished like that. So, you know, I could also say 16 attentive rounds. Yeah? Yeah. Sridharananda Maharaj had his whole lecture one time on different kinds of japa. One was the octopus japa. You're on the phone like that, calling somebody and chanting your rounds. Like that. Octopus japa. And there's jabber japa. Here, kitty, kitty. Kitty, kitty. Here, kitty, kitty. Like that. Here, kitty, 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 kitty. Here, kitty, kitty. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so Papa, keep. Yeah. All right, guys, Mama, keep.